Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a chair. A few years ago, I was listening to a Mariners game when this guy with a foghorn voice sitting below the press box started up with a running commentary. He kept it up, talking over the announcers. Finally, the announcers quit talking and started laughing. It's Bartimaeus at the ballpark. As a Mariners fan, he may well have been asking for mercy. So give him a hot dog and a beer and shut him up. Okay. Well, it didn't work at the ballpark, and it didn't work at Jericho. But let's put Bart on hold for a bit and look at what else is going on. Where is this large crowd going? And what is it with Jericho? Well, just 15 miles from Jerusalem, Jericho is the last stage of the pilgrimage to the temple for Passover. So many of those with Jesus were fellow pilgrims going to Jerusalem for Passover. And some had come out to wish pilgrims well on the way. Some were there to listen to Jesus. Distinguished rabbis and teachers often lectured as they walked. Famous for this was the Greek philosopher Aristotle. In fact, the whole school of philosophy was named after him and the other teachers who walked as they taught. Well, pilgrims, well-wishers, disciples, students, and the curious were all ambling along listening to the Master when they hear, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Well, Son of David means Messiah. So in the crowd were those expecting Jesus to be the Savior, who will kick out the Romans and free Israel. Some of them were probably Jesus' disciples, in particular James and John, whom you heard about last week, and probably Peter and Judas too. And there were some in the crowd who did not wish Jesus well. Thousands of priests served the huge temple in sections throughout the year. Well, you just heard that in Hebrews, where it says the former priests were many in number. Well, scholar William Barclay says, yeah, there were 20,000 of them throughout Judah, and they would go to the temple in sections to serve there. You heard about one of them in the story of the Good Samaritan. So some of them were priests going to Jerusalem for the Passover. For the Passover, they were all supposed to go there. So the crowd in Jericho probably included some of them. And they were not friendly to Jesus because his growing renewal movement opposed the temple orthodoxy. So the priests were always looking for ways to do away with him. The disciples certainly were there with Jesus as he walked and taught. The preceding chapters in Mark give us an idea of what he taught about the kingdom of God. What they heard in Jericho, they probably did not understand any better than they did throughout Mark's account. A major theme in Mark is the obtuseness of the disciples. To Mark, I suspect, all disciples are dense, us too. In the chapters leading up to Bartimaeus, the disciples witness, now you can go count these, okay, I did, 11 healings, 4 miracles, 3 predictions of the Passion, and numerous parables and teachings. Sounds like the 12 days of Christmas, but it isn't. You know, there's a lot going on. It's packed with things. They witness among the miracles two mass feedings and Jesus twice calming the sea, once walking on the water. Those are sure indications of his divinity in their day. If this isn't enough, they are also present at the transfiguration. That's in there too. And we, with a lifetime of readings piled on top of two millennia of interpretations, are witnesses in our own right. So what's with these guys and with us? I think the disciples were overwhelmed by the intensity of divinity in their midst and the upending of their way of life. It's no wonder they interpreted what they experienced in terms that they knew. A new kingdom? Get us in on the ground floor, Jesus. Saw that last week. No, you can't just go off and get killed. Remember Peter rebuking Jesus because he predicted his passion? And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." No wonder Jesus keeps asking throughout Mark, "Do you not understand?" And we are so used to these reading these stories that they slide right by us. Okay, Jesus walked on water. In fact, that's become part of our idiom. You ever had a personnel evaluation that said, yeah, he walks on water. Right, okay. He fed thousands with a couple of grocery bags of food. Okay. And his clothes became dazzling white, better than a detergent commercial. All this stuff is like second nature. Do we not understand? Now, seeing, the opposite of obtuseness, is another major theme in Mark. In chapters 8 to 10, the healing of the two blind men, the last being Bartimaeus, bookend or bracket, the stories that reveal Jesus' identity and the nature of the way he is teaching. Mark wants us to see what the disciples were blind to while Jesus was with them. He wants us to see Jesus' divinity and that his way is rooted in love. Compassion offered as self-giving service, even self-sacrifice. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. You heard Jesus say this in the gospel last week. Jesus speaks openly. Then in Jericho, he shows us by calling Bartimaeus over. The way of the world is to leave Bartimaeus and those like him by the side of the road as collateral damage or acceptable losses. But in the way of Jesus, even a blind beggar has infinite worth. He not only restores sight to Bartimaeus, but he calls him over to join the others traveling with him. Part of his healing is being included. Go. Your faith has made you well. Bartimaeus embodies faith. He perseveres in calling Jesus. He knows exactly what he wants. My teacher, let me see again. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, as it is written in Hebrews. Bartimaeus is sure he will see again and is convinced Jesus will make this happen. Faith also is a major theme in Mark. In earlier stories, some struggle. You remember Jairus, who despairs for his daughter's healing, for her very life. Do not fear, only believe, Jesus urges him. And then there's the father who fears for his epileptic son and asks Jesus to heal him, if you are able. Jesus replies, if you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes. The father cries out, I believe, help my unbelief. I see faith as a grace, a gift. Like all the gifts of the Spirit, we need only open our hearts to receive it. Opening the heart is the work of prayer. Paul urges us to pray without ceasing. So, when we pray, let us pray for faith. The opposite of faith is not doubt, but control. As Jairus and the other father worry about their children, they are trying to control the situation. In their fear, they grasp for assurance. Remember the camel and the eye of the needle, that story? It's not about money. It's about control. When we have resources, we suffer the illusion that we have control in our lives. We don't. The work of the spiritual life is learning that without needing a bad diagnosis to teach us. Faith, as author Frederick Buechner said, is a journey without maps. We don't know where we are going, really. Our lives are very fragile. But we go anyway, knowing that we are loved. When Jesus came by, this infinite love achieved crystal clarity for Bartimaeus, and he knew salvation was at hand, and he followed Jesus on the way, a journey without maps, and we go too, and we pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit on the way. Amen.